Recording going?
Yep.
Okay. Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for December 19th, 2023. And with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And I would like to ask Director Cooper on item two if he would kindly lead us in the pledge tonight.
Test, test.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Director Cooper. Our announcements for tonight are as follows. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. We do have members of the public present, so I would like to remind you that there are public comment cards in the lobby to help facilitate the public comment process. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for a discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors, excluding Director Brownstein, are present for tonight's meeting. Please note that Director Colley is attending in person as opposed to remotely. We can now move on with the meeting and go to item three, public comment. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6 p.m. I don't have any public comment cards. Are there any public comments on items not covered in this agenda or related to closed session, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Very good. Move to item four, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the December 19th, 2023 board agenda from our board members? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved. Are there any comments on the agenda?
There is not.
Very good. Move to item five, special procedures. Item 5.1, conduct a public hearing regarding an ordinance to consider adjusting the director compensation and to decide whether or not to adopt an ordinance to do so. We will now open the public hearing regarding an ordinance to increase director compensation rate. There is an updated ordinance that was sent out today via email, posted to the SCV Water website, and is at each of our spots. Each of your spots, members of the board. Changes are shown in red line. The exhibit did not change and is in your board packet. However, it has been attached to the ordinance for your convenience. Some history on the stipend that we receive for meetings that we attend. The board approved an increase to their stipends in December of 2020. Which became effective on February 12, 2021. Stipends were at $228.15 when the SCV Water was established and now is at $239 even since the approved increase in December of 2020. There has been no further increase since that date. In your board package, you have a survey of comparator agencies and their stipend rates. You will find that our current stipend is below the median and below the average across the board. According to the staff report, which I put some information into, I'm proposing that we consider a 6.7% raise. We are allowed 5% per year for the 2 years we have not received an increase. We could go as high as 10% over the $239 value. But I think I'd rather consider a slightly less increase of 6.7% to the number is in your packet. I think it's $261. Let's see. Okay, I got a $16 increase to bring it to $255 per meeting. However, if it is the board's pleasure not to consider an increase, I'm certainly open to that. It's just a starting point for the discussion. So I'll open it up to board discussion on whether or not we should adopt an ordinance increasing our stipend rate at the meeting tonight. Director Cooper.
Thank you, President Martin. Yes, it's been a couple of years since we've done this. In looking at the survey that was done of about 15, 18 agencies, the median came out at 295. We're substantially below that. And I would so move your recommendation to 6.7.
Very good. We have a motion for the recommendation. Any other discussion or comments from the board before we ask? Director Armitage.
I want to say I appreciate the effort that went into doing the comparisons. I know somebody had to do the work to do that, so thank you. I will not be supporting an increase. I feel like all indications are showing that rates are going to change for customers in the near future, and I don't feel comfortable taking an increase in compensation because of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
President Martin. This is Tom, President Martin.
I have a question and then a comment. What is your recommended increase based on? Is that based on CPI or where did you get the figure?
Well,
we
know, of course, that CPI is way over 6.7% if you multiply 2 years in a row. So we are almost by definition below CPI and we're within the increase that we're permitted by the act. So this seemed like a modest increase and a fair increase for our board. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of put it out there.
Okay.
I'm perfectly willing to go either direction.
Okay.
Up, down, or none.
All right. Well, and my comment is, you know, I've talked to people who might potentially run for the board, and I do think we need to stay in the ballpark, and even with this increase, we would be much below the median. I value the input of people that have utility background.
Yeah.
Some people have had legal background, extensive financial background. And if people are going to give of their time up to 10 meetings a month, missing their family while they may still be working or, you know, foregoing time with their family, I want those kind of people to be on this board and not, I mean, many of them wouldn't even consider it because of it's just not worth their time. But we need the input of a wide swath of the community and with varied backgrounds. So I think we should stay relatively competitive. And I would support your recommendation.
Very good. Director Colley.
So generally, I think this is a good idea, except, and I'll get to the except in a moment. When I think about the typical meeting that I attend, I'll contact members of staff, ask questions, spend hours going over the packet, hours, oftentimes going over an issue and asking questions and making suggestions to staff. And I may spend, you know, several days preparing for a meeting oftentimes. And so, you know, a stipend of $260 some odd is hardly sufficient compensation if I was going to do this for money. I'm an idiot. I'm not getting paid anywhere near what I'm worth as far as a stipend goes. But the except is the fact that we also have our entire compensation package includes for some of us an additional $2,000 a month or so in medical benefits. And that creates a kind of a strange, you know, some of us are paid effectively a great deal of money, you know, in total compensation. And some of us don't collect that and don't need it. I would like to not have this discussion tonight until such time as we can have a discussion on our total compensation package and perhaps get rid of the idea of somebody coming to 10 meetings a month being due medical benefits for themselves and their family. I don't think that, you know, I've never thought that was a reasonable thing. And I think that we should do away with it. I also think that it'd be a good idea to consider some of the things that we collect a stipend for. I believe there are directors on this agency that collect a $239 stipend to have a phone call with the general manager for half an hour. That seems excessive. That hardly is something that, in my view, equates to a meeting that we would normally prepare for. So I'm not going to support this tonight, but I would support, very much support, an increase in the stipend. But considering the total compensation that we get at a future meeting.
Any other comments or discussion?
President Martin, our accounts general counsel, Tom Bunn, wanted to say something.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Mr. Bunn?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Tom.
Okay.
Tom, we still can't hear you. Yeah, Tom, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Hold on just a second, Tom. Tom, try again.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom, with your comments, Tom.
Okay. The opportunity kind of passed, but I would like to remind President Martin to close the public hearing before taking a vote.
Very good. Thank you. So we have no public present that wanted to weigh in on this. So I suppose we can. Before we call the vote, we'll close the public hearing. Vice President Gutzeit.
Well, I thought that legal counsel might comment on this, but regarding the medical compensation, I thought that that was a requirement. And can you comment on that, if I'm mistaken or if that's accurate?
That what was a requirement?
That directors are required to be counted as an employee for the purpose of benefits.
No, that's not the case.
That's not the case. I saw
the agency can provide for those benefits, but does not have to.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Other people are shaking their heads, but that was my understanding. I mean, that's came up at Newhall before.
Any other director, Vice President Ozahosky?
Yeah, I'd like to kind of echo what Vice President Gutzai said before. It's for me, either way is fine, but it is an incentive for future electeds to be interested in this role. Just like Vice President Gutzai, I would love for people to run for this seat who have background in water, who have background in water resources, background in Sacramento or in DC in terms of legislative proceedings. That would be helpful to our ratepayers and to the agency. And so, but there's got to be some sort of an incentive to make it worth their while. It is a significant portion of their time in the evenings. That's true. And we've all experienced that. So that would be my case for the increase. And just a reminder, I mean, I think the most qualified candidates, certainly are the ones that are currently in the same sort of sphere of business, but also the ones who have retired but want to contribute back to their community by working for the board, by working on the board for the ratepayers during their retirement years, just because the wealth of knowledge is significant. Back to you, President Martin.
Dr. Cooper.
Years ago, we let this go many years without doing an increase, and it really got out of hand then. And then it's hard to catch up, and then you have to make large increases to catch up. But you want to stay in the ballpark. You want to be able to be this in the same ballpark as other water agencies, boards, in what they're playing. The median is $295. We're looking at $255. We're in the ballpark. The medical that is given was something that was done a number of years ago. At that time, we were told that we would be treated as employees, and medical was something that we were entitled to do. People that already had medical insurance that didn't need it get the health reimbursement account. I get that because I have medical insurance. Well, anybody that's over 65 on the board gets Medicare, so you really don't need it, and you don't have to use it. I probably use $2,000 worth of it a year because I get me a pair of glasses or two, and what my dentist, our dental insurance doesn't pay, then I'll put on health reimbursement card. So I only use a couple thousand dollars of that a year. You can use it if you need it. If you don't need it, you don't have to use it. It's not like you're getting $2,000 a month. So I think what we're doing is reasonable, and it keeps us in the game. We put in, as Director Cawley said, we put in an inordinate amount of time when we have meetings like with Mr. Means back there that go from 7:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon, and you get a stipend for that. Or if you go and meet with the general manager, which isn't a half hour, mine was an hour and a half, and talk to the general manager, you can put in a stipend if you want. You don't have to. If you feel that it's not necessary, then you don't have to. Last month, I think I turned mine into April. I had like 15 meetings. You only get paid for 10. I have to put the others on there because I received travel or something else for them. But I think what we're doing is fine. I don't think it's out of line, and that we do put the work in.
Very good. Mr. Bunn, if you are still on the line.
I'm here.
I believe we've exhausted the discussion at the board level. Should we now close the public hearing and consider a motion?
Well, actually, my screen is clear enough to see that the Director Armitage has her hand up.
Yes, Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just wanted to support the request that Director Colley had to kind of have a larger discussion at some point soon about director compensation in more ways than just focusing on the per diem rate that we're talking about today. And maybe that can fold into the meeting that we keep talking about having in terms of also reanalyzing committee structure and all of those things. So that's my first point. Secondly, I just want to say I disagree with the sentiment that we have to attract quality candidates for these seats with a higher level of compensation. I think that there can be people who do this as a community service, aren't looking to make money off of this, and do a very fine job in advocating for clean and sustainable water for our community. Thank you.
Director Cooper.
All of us got on this because we wanted to do community service, and we like giving back to the community. And I think what we're asking for here is a $16 increase, which is nothing. And I don't think we need to do it as a package with other things. I think you do the stipend, you stay in the ballpark with the stipend. And then if you want to have one of the committees take a look at what we're doing with medical and dental insurance, you can certainly do that separate from that. So I think moving tonight on the stipend is probably appropriate.
Okay, looking left, looking right. Any other discussion or comments? So, Mr. Bunn, I was going to close the public hearing, if that's appropriate at this time.
Absolutely.
The public hearing is hereby closed, and I'll entertain a motion or whatever that might be. I think Director Cooper's already made a motion, so your motion stands to adopt the recommended stipend increase. Do we have a second? Director Mark, second. Any other discussion? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
No.
Director Colley.
No.
Director Peterson.
No.
Director Bronstein. Oh, I'm sorry. Director Bronstein is not here tonight. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozohowski.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass by a vote of 5-2-4.
Very good. Thank you, Bora. We can now move on to item 6, consent calendar. You have five items.
Let me correct that. 5-3, because we are missing a director.
Very good. Okay. Move on to item 6, consent calendar. There are 5 items on the consent calendar tonight. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar?
There is not.
Very good. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar. Director Armitage.
I have one very minor request for addition to language for 6.2. Can I just make that rather than pulling it?
Let's try to clear that up and vote for the entire calendar if we can. After you get your answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So in 6.2, on page 19 of the packet, halfway down, it's about the motion for the request for proposals to remodel the existing boardroom. I'm wondering if it'd be okay if we just added, to remodel the existing boardroom and addition of conference room or whatever similar language you would be comfortable with, just because I ended up supporting it because of that reason and not just the remodeling of the boardroom. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You note the change, Madam Secretary?
I did. Thank you.
Good. So I would entertain a motion for approval of consent calendar. Director Armitage motions approval of consent calendar. We have a second. Vice President Ozohowski?
I'll second.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
President Martin. President Martin?
Yes.
You.
Oh, Marks. I think.
Yeah, I got Director Marks.
Okay. All right. We're good.
Okay. This item does pass, and that includes resolution number SCV-393.
All right. We can move on to item 7. Action items for approval. Item 7.1. Approve an HCM implementation contract with Apps Associates. Our presenter tonight is Rochelle Patterson. Ms. Patterson.
Item was presented to the Finance and Administration Committee once in November and in December. In November, we have asked that we have legal review the scope of work. Professional services agreement, and we did have it accepted.
Okay. Oh, that's better. language was accepted by the consultant Apps Associates. So I just wanted to get that clarifying language out. So the agency prides itself in being a best-in-class agency, yet many of its human capital management, HCM, or HR functions are still being completed through a manual process. As we continue to grow, we would hope that we could automate some of these processes like many large agencies and companies do. Manual processes are prone to risk, and we have, this is also the second phase of our Oracle implementation project, our larger project, the first phase being our HC, Oracle ERP system, which is the finance side, and this is the second phase, which is the HCM side. Next slide. The first phase of the implementation was completed by MTech. They implemented the ERP, the EPM, which has all of the procurement, and HCM Lite. When we talk about HCM Lite, they needed our employees so we could have proper approval flow, but it doesn't include the core HCM. Phase two of the implementation includes the core HCM, which will have everything about the employees and the flow, payroll and time and labor, and also recruiting. Earlier this year, MTech was acquired by Apps Associates, so we would have the same representation we had with our first implementation, who knows our system very well, along with many new faces that are have a lot of experience in the public sector in a, and some water agencies. Next slide. Some of our current challenges and efficiencies that we believe we can overcome with this HCM program is recruitment. Right now, it is a manual workflow. From supervisor to manager to HR, everything is manual through email. Our pre-hire and background screening, we use three different systems. Our onboarding, we use another three different systems. Our performance and probationary reviews, it's a manual Excel form as well as an Excel tracking. And this would be nice to have it automated. It could go from the employee doing their their performance evaluation to the supervisor, could check it off. It would go to HR. Right now it's taking it, scanning it, sending it to the supervisor. The supervisor signs it, scans it, sends it to HR. HR scans it, sends it back to the manager to give to the employee. It's a lot of repetitive motions work that could be automated in this HCM program. Regulatory reports are done manually. So all of our demographics, they're in two or three different places. They all need to be compiled to do our annual regulatory reports. There's no employee self-service. There's no place for employees to go to
find out anything that's in their file. They have to call HR to ask for it, and then it gets sent to them. The menu manual process we have, and then we still are using paychecks for payroll and time cards. Not that paychecks is a bad program, but it's not built to manage a specialized payroll process like we have. We have many workarounds for paychecks. Next slide. So we believe for the project value that we'll have time savings through automation. And that's just having a lot of the processes we do automated in the system. We can put information in one time and go back. We can query on it. We could have dashboards. Everything is there. We have the streamlined benefit system. Right now, that is all manual. It's on paper. It's sending an email to HR. This will actually connect with CalPERS, so employees can go in and look at their benefits. They can request to change their benefits at open enrollment. There isn't any paper going back and forth. It would all be automated. As I talked about regulatory compliance, it's be seamless reporting, all the demographics, everything is already in the system. Better employee experience, just so employees can see, their documents and they can see to make changes. Robust analytics, we would have real-time data across all of our modules. So if we were looking for a report that includes financial data, it would look at all the models, modules on the ERP side and the HCM side. And what we have highlighted there is the single source of truth. That's our biggest, what we want to focus on. We want one place to go for the information instead of looking at three different systems. And maybe one had a typo and that one is incorrect, but that's the one we're using. But a single source of truth, somewhere we can go and pull that information and know that it's accurate. Next slide. So the collaboration that we've had so far with MTech and Apps Associates, that they have proven industry experience. They have a really deep understanding of SCV water systems. I'm not sure some of you know because you were here, but when we implemented Oracle, when we came to you and wanted this, this financial system that would bring our four trial balances together and we could operate as one agency, it was a big lift. It was a heavy lift, and yes, it was expensive, but we did it, and it required a lot of customizations, which MTech and Apps Associates have built for us. They are able to meet this HCM program in a phased approach that will meet the workflow and the resources of limitations of the agency staff. So we're able to do a phased approach. And then just their resource excellence in our partnership with them since 2020 when we started the first phase of the Oracle implementation. Next slide. The timeline for the project for the core HCM, we would try to accomplish this fiscal year. It's about 18 weeks. And then the payroll, time and labor, absence management, and recruiting can all happen next fiscal year. They can happen concurrently because they're in two separate departments. One is in accounting, that's the payroll and time management, and the recruiting journeys is in HR, and those are different resources, so those can happen concurrently next fiscal year. Next slide. So we were also asked a little bit about the project's value. What does the project's value mean to us, the agency? And it's really hard to anticipate where the savings might be. We know we're doing a lot of manual entries that can automate. Do we know exactly how much time saving that is yet? We don't have a number for that, but we know it will have efficiencies that come out of it. Oracle did a survey. It's their realization report of all of their customers back in 2020. And they found, and the biggest one, I think, is the 11% at the bottom, which is improved workforce efficiency. So reducing the number of FTEs, eliminating manual processes, and redeploying resources to valuable ad functions. We think that we will achieve that just by some of our automations and not having to do duplicate work. They also have a tool, it's a calculator on the Oracle site that you can add in different types of scenarios and factors like number of employees, turnover rate, and using their, I'm not sure if it's AI or their analytics, of putting a number to that. And it came up with a three-year project benefit of $143,000. And it's not a lot, but it's some, knowing that we will continue to save a little bit every year from where we are. On the project's value, this is a fixed price contract. And we did ask for how many hours for this almost $1.8 million from Apps Associates. How many hours are they going to put in? And they allowed me to tell you how much it is, and we can back into that number. So they have a total of 18,090 hours allocated to this project, 5,627 hours in phase one. That's the onboarding and recruiting. Phase two is 9,004 hours. That's the payroll. And then 2,959 hours for journeys, and that's in phase three. So they, based on the phase, they are a little bit different. They range from $92 an hour to about $120 an hour for an average cost of about $99.03 per hour. Next slide. So on the financial considerations, we have each phases, the core HCM, the time and labor, and the Oracle Recruiting Cloud. It's about almost $1.8 million. We have opted to, for the $59,125, hopefully add their change management, which will help our staff be able to train additional staff and have the SOPs written so they know, each staff member will know, they'll have instructions on what to do for each module. And then we believe that we will need a couple, 1 to 2 limited duration employees to have backfill the people, the SMEs, the subject matter experts that will be spending about 80% of their time working on the core HCM just to backfill some of those other positions. So we've budgeted for that. So a total project costs of $2 million. There's an additional $36,000 of licensing for some of the licenses that we didn't have, but most of these, the licenses for the core HCM, we already own. Next slide. So the recommendation, a majority of the Finance Administration Committee recommended that the Board of Directors approve the HCM implementation project costs of $2,217,235 and authorize the general manager to enter into contract with Apps Associates for a fixed contract cost of $1,791,460. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Rochelle, for your presentation. Before we open up for board discussion, Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment? I have no public comment cards.
We do not.
Very good. Open up for board discussion or possible motion. Vice President Ozahowski.
For the single source of truth, Ms. Patterson, did you have a buy-in from other departments?
We have a buy-in from all the departments, the sub-departments in the finance administration section that do this data entry on a day-to-day basis. So we are looking for that, the single source of truth. So one person can go in and see the exact same information that another person logs in and sees.
Understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Director Cooper.
Rochelle, I think we expected some of this when we combined the water agencies in moving forward and getting into one organization to where we're very efficient or much more effective. Do you see this as part of that combining of the water agencies?
I do. And when in 2020, when we brought the Oracle implementation to the board, it was, we had wanted to have HCM in there. And HCM was in one of the scope of works, but staff knew that we couldn't take on all of it at once. And so we had committed to coming back a year after the Oracle went live on the finance side with the HCM piece. We're about a year late, but now we're here. We believe we're ready to get started. We have the support of the staff, especially the HR staff, who are just waiting to get started to, you know, make, you know, not just their job easier, but, you know, all of our employees to have a better experience, employee experience on the HR side.
Good. So it's a part of that, combining the water agencies and making it more efficient.
Yes. There wasn't one agency that had an HCM, so it would be nice to add one.
Thank you.
Vice President Gutzeit.
I did take some time to talk to Ms. Patterson offline about this, and I appreciate you getting the cost breakdown for me because it does seem very expensive. But when you look at it in terms of the hours to implement and the average hourly rate, it is, you know, less than an engineering rate, but still reasonably low for billable hours to a consultant. So I appreciate you getting that additional information for us and for everyone to hear. The other thing I talked about at finance, which I think is relevant here, this is more than just software. We can buy software, but it related, probably much smaller scale, I see corporations buy things that are like environmental compliance management software. And I would say 8 times out of 10, it's a disaster because it's not customized. You have to train all the staff. Half the staff doesn't want to do it. Half the staff is still running their own Excel sheets on the side or doing their own thing because they don't like this, that, or the other thing about the program that maybe corporate thought was wonderful. So if we're going to do this, if we need something like this, I think it has to be fully implemented or it's just a big waste of money and it will be headaches for years to come. So I support doing it right the first time to get us to where we want to be. I will note, yes, it was part of the consolidation, and that consolidation has already saved us more money than we expected and continues to save us on administrative time and administrative hassles every single day. So I think we fully execute that consolidation.
Thank you, Vice President Gutzeit. Director Colley.
Well, Director Peterson.
Jump ball.
I can defer to Director Colley for a minute, but I'll just say that we've had quite a discussion about this at the Finance Committee, and it really is the cost issue that we were coming against or up against. But as Director Gutzeit, Vice President Gutzeit said, we are in this process of bringing our agency together and continue to work on these programs that are important to the employees. And that's how I view it. And I will defer to any further comments to Director Colley.
So I think on the F&A committee, I think I was the only vote against this idea. I'm not at all disputing the staff's assertion that this would be beneficial. And I don't think that they're wrong in saying that a lot of these benefits would accrue. The difficulty, of course, I have is $2.2 million. Not everything that is a benefit is worth the price that it costs to get the benefit. And I haven't seen any data or anything that would really convince me that there's enough value here to warrant paying that amount of money. We're going to be faced with a rate increase, and our ratepayers aren't going to like it. We need to somewhere, somehow, not spend money. And this, unlike many others, I think is something that we could and should figure out a way to do cheaper. And until staff can come forward with more than hand-waving arguments about savings, I think that the board should not approve it. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Colley. Any other comments from the board? Ms. Patterson, do you have a response for Director Colley? I believe it's Director Peterson also has the same concern, but I'm not sure how deep your concern goes, Director Peterson.
Well, it is a concern of the amount of money that we have to pay for this part of the Oracle system. But the Oracle system is a very robust system, and it needs customizing for certain tasks that you want out of it, including HCM. And this is what this expenditure is for, is to create that software package inside Oracle that the staff could use robustly, as Ms. Patterson has explained to us. With that, I would like to just to put the motion on the floor for, as the recommended motion, to enter into this contract with HCM, as said in the agenda.
We do have a motion. Vice President.
Just a quick question. So we're looking at approximately savings of $7,000 per year by canceling the third-party software. And we do have a statement from Oracle estimating a potential savings of $143,000 3-year project benefit for that amount. Can you expand those? Can you expand on those two cost savings there, Mrs. Patterson?
The 3-year project benefit of $143,000 was out of that Oracle analytic based on some of our agency factors. And, you know, I do know that it's hard to put a number, a savings on where we think we're going to have efficiencies. We don't really know that, what that number is, until it's implemented. We just know that we have these manual processes. We know they can be automated. We know we're spending a lot of hours. I know in the committee, had suggested that, you know, it could stave off hiring another HC or HR person, but I don't know when that could be. I don't know how quickly we're going to grow. Is it when we add, 40 employees or 50 employees? Not sure until we know, what that workload is and we can evaluate it. So, we know we're going to save a little bit from paychecks because we won't be utilizing the full paychecks, but I don't have that number today. But I don't have necessarily a number either for our automations when we went to the first phase of Oracle, other than we didn't have to add accounting staff. I mean, we're growing, we're doing more complex processes. We have grants, which we didn't have before. We have the same number of staff. So I don't know if that's, that is, if that will be what you need to know that there is efficiency. We don't have a number to put around it, but we do believe it will save us time. And in the end, we believe that it would help. We would save a little bit of money along the way. And by potentially at some point, maybe we need to add HR staff, but If we can automate these functions, we can, with the staff that we have, we won't have any problem. If we grow a little bit, we shouldn't have any problem. But I can't say for sure when that day is because I don't know how quickly we're going to grow.
Okay, understood. Just a quick follow-up. So in terms of bandwidth from your staff, is there a concern that work is not being done, that it's that all these manual entries take some staff through some sort of overtime or after hours?
Yes, there's certain times of year, especially when we do the regulatory reporting, it has to happen in a certain time period. And there's, you know, time, yes, that's spent after hours working to try to compile the information and making sure that it's correct, something that we could have just hit a button and we get the report in the correct format and we can automatically send it. There's, you know, around budget time, around when we do all of our performance evaluations, there's manual entries that we have to put in three different places, not just one place, because we have to put it in paychecks and we still have to put it in Oracle and we have to put it in the employee file. That's really simple, but that's one of the types of efficiencies that we can gain with that one single source of truth. We could put it in one place and it's there. And we don't have to go and put it in two other places. And, you know, and hopefully it's all accurate and there isn't an error or a fat finger, but at least it's in one place.
No, understood. The manual entries are definitely synonymous with human error inputs. I'm going to go ahead and second the motion, but before we continue, President Martin, I think Mr. Stone had a comment.
Yes, I was going to call on Mr. Stone. Go ahead, Mr. Stone.
Yeah, actually, I think I have a question for Rochelle, maybe a clarifying question. In a conversation we had, I think you'd mentioned, while the focus of the first part of this discussion has been on does it save staff time or reduce the need for staff, I'd like to understand what things we can't do now that this system will allow us to do. And I think you'd mentioned something related to the accounting and job costing.
Right.
And the ability to do that. And that struck me as something that was maybe missed in the committee discussion.
Right. So Oracle has a robust projects module. Paychecks can't talk to our projects module. Oracle has a way we can have a parent account and a child account. When we budget for an item right now, if, you know, engineering is budgeting for a component A, B, C, and D and putting a budget to each component, and then billing to it. And if it's all of a sudden over budget, it has to go back to engineering. Engineering has to request a budget transfer. It takes about six steps for accounting to do that budget transfer. And then the payroll can go through. It doesn't talk. So there's constant kickbacks and manual processes. So we're not using the Oracle Projects module as intended. And, you know, even when we have our paychecks data, we can get the reports. It needs to be scrubbed about three or four different times to make sure we have this fund, this project, this account. And then we have to look to make sure that there's a budget available in each project and each account. And if it doesn't, then we go through that budget transfer. If we could use the project module as intended, we have one deposit amount for our projects or one budget amount, and then there's those child accounts, but the payroll hits that larger budget number. There's no need for these other budget transfers back and forth. We have a senior accountant that spends most of her day every day doing budget transfers. So we can automate a lot of those features. And eliminate having to do a lot of those budget transfers for that purpose.
And just further, I'm not sure that we're able to do everything we want to do, even with that process. That was what I took away from the conversation.
Yes. So it has to all do with reporting, and it's going to become really important with the WIFIA project to make sure that our payroll gets put into the proper fund and the proper account for WIFIA reimbursements. And it would just be nice to maximize what Oracle can do on the finance side if we can have a payroll system that goes with it.
Director Colley?
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I just heard you say that we have one employee who spends most of her time, I think you said, doing budget transfers that would no longer need to be done. So if you're saying, I think, if I interpret that correctly, that if we have this system in place, we will have an employee who no longer has a function doing what she is currently doing, and we could eliminate that position. I would expect that that would be a savings. That, you know, if what you're telling me is correct, that there would be a savings, and whatever that individual is paid, if they're paid $70,000, $100,000 a year, that we could add that to the savings that this would accrue. Did I misunderstand that, or did I?
No, I just, it's a substantial part, one part of the job. There's other parts of project accounting that go with it. So I can't say 100% of her job is doing budget transfers. She does spend a significant amount of time doing budget transfers, but she does do other things with project accounting, with reporting, making sure that the budgets, that there's funds available for charges when they come in. There is a lot that has to do with budget accounting. Could there be efficiencies there? Sure. But we are taking on, other things like WIFIA and grants that this employee can focus on and be more of a, you know, grant project accountant. You know, there's all sorts of things that, you know, tasks that we can have these employees do, especially with our new projects that are coming on.
Rochelle, I have a question. Do any of our colleague water agencies use this software, or other agencies that use this software?
Most agencies have a HCM software, whether they use Oracle. I'm not sure if they do use Oracle, but when we were doing our survey, I believe most of our benchmark agencies have a HCM program.
This would more or less keep us up capability-wise with current state-of-the-art in what your department does and what this agency does.
I believe so.
And the way I read it also is we'll be able to delay adding additional HR staff. So it's not a matter necessarily of reducing staff day one, but it could cut back on the amount of staff we add as we grow and function and complexity in what we do. Is that a correct assessment?
Yes. I mean, there's all sorts of variables. Like I said, I don't know how quickly we're going to grow, but if we are relatively the same, then yes.
So, any other board discussion? We do have a motion. Not sure that we have a second yet. Oh, sure. Okay, we do have a motion and a second. Unless there's any further discussion, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Colley.
No.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Board. We can move on to item 7.2, approve receiving and filing of SCB Water Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. Presenter tonight, once again, is Rochelle Patterson. Ms. Patterson, please proceed.
Yes, so this item I was going to be presented by our controller, Amy Ager, but she's under the weather. She did give me some extra notes that she was going to touch on, so I'll try to throw those into the presentation. So our annual comprehensive financial report, also known as our ACFR, because we all like our acronyms, is more than just a basic financial statement. It's a communications document as it relates to the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023, and will be submitted to GFOA for award consideration as well this year. So there's copies out there that's in your packet. You know, this is what it looks like. It has three sections. It includes the introductory section, which is a long letter. It has includes demographics, economic conditions. It has budget summary. It has agency officials, a service area map. It has a high-level organizational structure. It's kind of all about the agency and the in the current year. And then we have our like our basic financial statements. It has the independent auditor's report. It has the management discussion and analysis and the financial sections with the footnotes to the financial section. And then we have a statistical section in the back. And that just brings the, we have 5 years now of audited numbers, 5 years of how it compares year over year. That statistical section is part of the ACFR. It is a requirement by GFOA. So most organizations following the GFOA requirements have the statistical section. The introductory section and the statistical section is not audited because that's not part of the financial statements, but they are reviewed by our auditor just for financial accuracy. Next slide. So these were some slides that were taken from the presentation that LSL, Lance Solon Lungard, they're the agency's auditors, had presented at the Finance and Administration Committee. Our financial statement audit was for the fiscal year of 2023. It is in accordance with our generally accepted auditing standards and government auditing standards. It also includes those blended component units, including the upper SCV JPA and Devil's Den and the GSA. They also evaluated the appropriations limit worksheets for the fiscal year ending June 2023, and they had no exceptions were noted as a result of those procedures. Next slide. So the scope of their engagement, they started their initial field work in May, the first week in May, and then they concluded their end of the year field work in October. And their October, they detailed the testing of accounts, balances and transactions, compliance testing with laws, regulations, and grant agreement contracts, and other procedures necessary to obtain sufficient and appropriate audit evidence. Next slide. The results of the audit, LSL issued an unmodified auditor's opinion on the financial statement, which is the highest opinion that we could receive. And that the financial statements were accurate and reliable as of June 30th, 2023. They also issued a report of internal control and compliance, and they found no significant deficiencies in internal controls, no material weaknesses in internal controls. I guess that's no significant, no material, and no material noncompliance with laws, regulations, grants, and et cetera, as noted. Next slide. More results from the audit from LSL that they identified no ongoing concern or doubts as of June 30th, 2023, identified no fraud, waste, or abuse during the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2023, had no disagreements with management about application of accounting principles, had no difficulties conducting their audit, and determine that all estimates used by management in preparing the financial statements were reasonable. Next slide. So here's just a summary of the agency's net position as it compared to fiscal year 2023. So our beginning balance of the year for 2023 is $714,000. And the end of our year was $735 million. In 2022, it was $714 million. So the variance is $20,944,000. And that is our net position increase. Next slide. So this is a statement of net position. So we have our assets and deferred outflows, and then we have our liabilities in the middle, and then we have what our net position is. The blue bar is our current year. The green bar is the prior year. So I'm not sure if you all know what net position is, so I can kind of maybe put it in some layman's terms, and that it is a term that tells you the overall financial situation or status of something like a company, an individual, an agency, and it's calculated by taking everything a person or entity owns, so all of their assets, and subtracting everything they owe, so all of their liabilities. So in simpler terms, you can think of in a big picture of your own finances. You add up all the things that you own, like your savings, your investments, your properties, and then you subtract all the things that you owe, such as loans, mortgages, debts, and then the result is your net position. That's what you have left over. If what you own is more than what you owe, your net position is positive, which is generally a good sign. And however, if what you owe is more than what you own, your net position is negative, indicating there could be some financial challenges. So the concept helps to understand whether an entity is in a strong or weak financial position by considering the difference between what they own and what they owe. So in our fiscal year 22-23, our total assets were about $1.13 billion. Our liabilities were $397 million, so our net position is $736 million. And you can see from the blue bar to the green bar, our last year's net position was $715 million. On page 53, which is note 11, it kind of goes through our net position when it includes three different types of net positions. And this is what Amy said she was going to mention. So I will do my best to try to my words. So net investment and in capital assets, it's the value of our assets after accounting for depreciation and any outstanding liabilities associated with those assets. So you would be taking our $1.1 billion, you would subtract our depreciation, and then you would subtract whatever debt we had outstanding that built those assets. That's how we get our net invested in capital assets. We have restricted net position, which also shows on page 11, and that's the portion of our net position that is required by law or contracted that can only be used for a specific purpose, like our state water project tax revenues, our facility capacity fees, and our bond proceeds. Those are all restricted, can only be used for one source. And then we have our unrestricted net position, and that's not subject to restrictions. It's available for general use and is an important metric in our financial reporting. So in your time, if you want to just look at page or note 11, you'll see that our reserves are fully funded and for fiscal year 23. Caveat, next year, the next couple of years, we know through our financing plan, we're going to be utilizing some of those reserves for our capital plan. So it might look a little bit different next year, the year after that, the year after that. But then over time, we start to grow them back up. But for this year, our reserves are fully funded at the end of fiscal year 23. Next slide. So here's the long-term debt for the fiscal year. It just each one pieces of that pie is one of our debt issues. We have four main debt issuances. We have our 1999 certificates of appreciation. We have our 2018 revenue bonds, 2020A revenue bonds, and the 2020B revenue bonds. Those were the refunding revenue bonds. Next slide. Our total operating and non-operating revenues totaled about $136 million, made up of our water sales of almost $74 million, our property tax receipts. These are now operating. These are not restricted. These are just our operating property taxes of $32.5 million. We received grants and reimbursements of $10 million, other charges and services, $9.3 million, earnings on investments, $6.6 million, facility capacity fees, $3.6 million, almost $3.7 million, and some miscellaneous revenues of $608,000. Next slide. There are statement of activities for our total operating expenses, which is just operating, excludes our restricted funds. Our finance administration and technology department was the leader at $17 million. And then we have our pumping wells and storage, water quality, and down at the bottom, we have management. They all total $84,274,571. Next slide. And the recommendation is that the Board of Directors receive and file the fiscal year 22-23 annual comprehensive financial report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rochelle. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on the report?
We do not.
Okay, open it up for board discussion, questions, comments, motion to receive and file. Director Cooper. We have a motion to receive and file. Do we have a second? Second by Director Peterson. Any other? Vice President Osaski.
Just a quick question. What was our net position in 2019?
Well, we'll go to our statistics section. It is on page.
I'm there right there right now.
77. 2019, it was $630,757,309. So it's about $105 million more than it was in 2019 than it is today.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Vice President Gutzeit.
I just want to thank the accounting department and all the staff that was involved in the auditing. I know it's very time intensive and it was a terrific report. So thank you again for doing that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cawley.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahosky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rochelle. Thank you, Board. Move on to item 7.3, approve adopting a resolution declaring that certain real property located on the border of Kings County and Kern County along State Highway 33, comprising approximately 182 parcels, is exempt surplus land, and finding that such a declaration is exempt from environmental review under the California Environmental Quality Act. Presenter tonight is Assistant General Manager Steve Cole. Mr. Cole.
Thank you, President Martin. Just a brief walkthrough of the agenda item tonight. I think you stated the recommendation as it is in the board packet. A couple things. We've been approached by a solar company for potential lease options for our Devil's Den property. And as part of our research into looking into that that offer, we were working with legal counsel in specific regards to the Surplus Land Act. So that is a new complexity that public agencies need to address when they're considering leases and sale of public-owned property. In this case, when we worked through that, we were able to find an exemption from the Surplus Land Act, in part, in the main part, due to our Enabling Act and the way it was crafted that dealt with solar leases. It is expressly provided for in our Enabling Act, which allows us to make this declaration of exemption, and that is the recommendation tonight. If the board chooses to do so, there will be some paperwork. The resolution will get filed with the Housing and Community Development Agency of the State of California. That starts a 30-day review clock for their consideration. And that will complete, assuming that they agree with the exempt status, that'll complete the agency's requirements for the Surplus Land Act. The board will have an opportunity. So this will allow us to continue our negotiations with the solar company. We will be hopefully bringing that lease to the board at a future meeting for consideration. And this will allow us to do that expeditiously and move through as needed for the lease. So with that, I would move the recommend that the board adopt the recommendation as stated in the board package. And I don't think I'll read through it again since President Martin has already done that, but happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Cole. We have any public comment on Mr. Cole's report?
We do not.
Very good. We can open up for discussion. Director Colley.
It's been a couple of years since I've been up to the property. There is no way anybody in the world wants to have a house on our Devil's Den property. We couldn't get the farmer that farms the land to live there. Obviously, this is something that we should be doing, and I'd make the motion. Staff recommended action.
Very good. Vice President Ozahowski.
I would like to second that motion. And yes, this is an amazing opportunity. And the quicker we get this resolved, we can continue with these negotiations. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Any other comments or discussion? I'd just like to thank Steve and staff for bringing this forward to us. And we have a motion and a second. So, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass. That includes resolution number SCV-397.
Very good. Thank you, board. Thank you, staff. Move to item 8. Our good friend Ed Means is here to present the draft 2024-2028 Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Strategic Plan. Again, presenter tonight, Means Consulting, LLC, and our friend, Mr. Means. Mr. Means.
President Martin, members of the board, good to see you all. It's been a while. September was your strategic retreat, and we've been furiously working away on the plan. Tonight's presentation is just to give you a flavor of the content of the plan, the formal graphic-rich document will be presented to you for formal review and approval in February, but we thought it'd be kind of good to give you just a sense of sort of where we stand. So what you have in your board pack is essentially the words and verbiage that'll appear in the final graphic-rich plan. I'm working with Kevin Strauss of your staff and the graphic artist to begin that process. But there are a couple of areas. Actually, I do want to advance right here. Next slide, if we could. So what I want to do is really focus you on kind of three areas: a vision, mission, and goals. A vision and mission are pretty easy since they're the same vision and mission, as you recall, was adopted by the board to carry forward. The goals are a little different, so I want to really primarily focus on those. And then if you have any kind of general impressions or things that you saw in there that just really, you know, got your, you know, really piqued your curiosity or you thought might not be on target, you can certainly take those comments and incorporate them. There are two areas that are very much still in play, and one is the key performance indicators in the plan. Those consider those placeholders. I met with your executive team 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, Matt and Steve, and we went through and with the executive team and have a great list of KPIs. So in the next iteration of this, you'll see those completed. The second area, though, is one that you as a board spent a lot of time talking about, and that's the area of the values. As we began talking more about it with the executive team, and I think you had that observation, this observation as well, is that having the input of the rank and file staff on those values is pretty important. You know, you can have them come on from down high, but they're more powerful if they kind of come both ways. So in order to affect that, the idea was to
pull together a values work group of employees that were keen and interested in helping craft these and make sure we get them right. So your executive team went out and spoke with their reports. We have a group of about a dozen people that have volunteered in this values work group. We'll meet at the beginning of January and go through what you see in here is some currently placeholder values, which were defined based upon our discussion at the September retreat. So I've captured in essence that flavor of that discussion. We'll present that to the staff folks, get their feeling for, you know, what are the right words? What are the kinds of things we want to emphasize value-wise? Then January 22nd, we'll go to an all-hands meeting with the output from that. And that'll allow people through kind of a World Cafe kind of thing to put any additional comments or thoughts to it. Then at that point in time, we'll be able to structure some really good value statements, and those you'll see as drafts in the February meeting. So that's the two caveats in this content right now. We also did go through with the executive team the strategies and objectives. So those are now pretty much come out of the ether. They're solidifying. Obviously, there's plenty of room to tweak any of those as necessary. So with that as a prelude, if I might have the next slide, April. Thank you. So the vision statement, as I mentioned, is the same as on the placard over here on the right and up on the left here. That was left unchanged. Next slide. And the mission statement, which is across the top of the room wording there, is remained the same, providing responsible water stewardship to ensure the Santa Clarita Valley has reliable supplies of high-quality water at a reasonable cost. So as you recall, in this sort of nesting approach that we do from the vision to the mission to the goals to the strategies and the objectives, this next step of the pyramid is one that the board owns. There were 8 goals that you asked be articulated. 6 of them carried over from the first plan with some wording changes and 2 new ones that I'll just want to step through those with you to, again, to make sure that we've captured adequately and artfully, if you will, your sentiment as a board. So for reference, I'll have them on the screen slides, but they're essentially the 8 that start at the bottom of page 1 on the board packet strategic plan content. So there's 6 on that first page and then 2 that carry over. So next slide, April. Thank you. So the first one dealt with exceptional customer service and stakeholder engagement. The notion and goal being to advocate and maintain a high level of customer and community satisfaction through policies, programs, and contacts. So this goal essentially sets the bar for you being understanding what the community has an interest in, ensuring that your information is out there, engaging the community, maintaining that satisfaction. You do customer surveys and the like. Your policies, your programs, and your contacts would further push this exceptional customer service and stakeholder engagement. So you'll see in the plan that all of those things that touch on customer and customer satisfaction will be nested under this goal. Okay. That one feel kind of right, short of wordsmithing. Okay, good. And then goal B, the second one, relates to the infrastructure, so the physical infrastructure. This would encompass all of the operations, implementation, the engineering, and the maintenance associated with your water infrastructure to ensure sustainable water services provision. So everything you do engineering-wise, operations-wise, would fit in effect under goal B. Goal C relates to sustainable water supply and resources, and that goal is to implement programs to ensure the service area has reliable supplies of water and supporting resources. So this is to keep those pipes that the engineers and operators have maintained and ready filled with adequate supplies of water to meet your charge as an agency. So again, you'll see all of those strategies and objectives nesting under for water supply and resources nesting there. And we did wrestle a little bit with, you know, this originally, there's a lot of you know, sustainable resources gets all into the energy issue too. And you'll see, you know, late in the report as you go through it, we've nested those energy issues in a, I believe we put it in the sustainability area, which I'll hit last, right? So that's pulled out. They used to be under here, under energy. Then gold D, we have the water quality part, and it's quite succinct. If you'll see, I think the draft KPI is essentially targeting meeting Safe Drinking Water Act compliance. So that's the big target there. Essentially protecting the quality of the water supplies and ensuring our drinking water meets or surpasses all water quality requirements. So that protection part gets into the PFAS kinds of issues and activities that you have in play, and again, other source protection measures that you put in place to make sure that that water is of adequate quality. All right. Then E, next slide, April. Thank you. Is financial resiliency. So all of the financial elements will nest under this goal. Maintain a long range, transparent, stable, and well-planned financial condition, resulting in current and future water users receiving fair and equitable rates and charges. Hopefully those words resonate with you, because I think you spent a fair amount of time in that workshop coming up with those. Good. So then goal F, a high performance team, all of the people and systems associated with making sure you've got this high performance team nest under this goal. Attract and retain quality staff members and grow a culture of continuous improvement that fosters SCV Water's values. And of course, the values are a placeholder right now. We'll sort those out in the next 6 weeks. All right. And then these are the two new ones. So then goal G is the environmental stewardship one. It's achieve environmental compliance and strive for sustainable policies, projects, and practices. And as you recall, this one was debated extensively, probably more than any of them at the board retreat. And I think it gives you that, you know, that philosophy, but it also with the selection of the word strive, you know, you as a board need to discuss these policies, right? What the benefits of a particular policy is, what the cost might be. And that's why you're as elected officials there to make that balanced call. And so strive was an articulate word, I think, to give you that, that flexibility, but again, an overall umbrella of striving, or rather having sustainable policies, projects, and practices. And then we have the last but not least, goal H, safe and secure workplace. And so we put both the safety and the security, and you recall the significant discussion over cybersecurity and the like we had at the workshop. Those two elements nest under goal H. So maintaining the safety of employees and securing the agency's physical and cyber resources as your goal. So those are the eight. They cover all of the functional elements of your utility from a practical standpoint. And I didn't do the actual head count yet on strategies and objectives, but there's somewhere around 100 of those. And we've tried to write those draft objectives so that they're measurable. And the key performance indicators will definitely be measurable. Let me rephrase that. And I'm going to look over at Rochelle. 95% of them will be measurable. Some of them were really kind of tricky to put hard measurement stats to it. But so that's just maybe pause right there. Anything that the board members board has seen with regard to these goals that, you know, cause you any level of concern or anything on, you know, that on the surface that we may have missed, obviously, all these, the action items, the objectives and strategies will all support these things. That's kind of where a lot of the meat and accountability ultimately comes in a strategic plan. And those are still pretty much in play. So just comments on the goals. Yeah, Director Goodside?
Before we go to discussion, Martin, from the board, do we have any public comment on the presentation, Madam Secretary?
We do not. Does that end your presentation, Ed?
There's just one more. It's a wrap up. It's more the time frames, but if you want to just bring that up, we're down now. I think you can barely see. I've made it light because they're accomplished. But so we'll present the plan today. We work with the values work group January 3rd, executive team on the 9th, board review is scheduled for the 20th. We're shoehorning an all-hands meeting in on January 22 to shop the values with the employees and make sure we've captured their best thinking on it. So when you see me next on February 20th, it'll be with a beautiful graphic-rich strategic plan and this content ready for your review and hopefully approval. That concludes my presentation.
Very good. Did you say it, Madam Secretary, we have no public comment?
We do not have any public comment.
Very good. Now we can open up discussion questions. Vice President Gusek.
Just real briefly, I appreciate the language on the goals. I think they're very crisp and consistent. I think before we had a few that were like all, you know, different level of depth. So it's a very good read now. Thank you.
Director Cooper.
And where do we have community safety in it? I mean, we have employee safety. We work with the community a lot. We work in streets. Do we address community safety in there, public safety?
You know, Director Cooper, it's not explicit. It's inferred through the conduct of safe, business practices, but it's more comes out of the employee safety side. So like traffic control, you know, you'd have that done in a fashion that doesn't, you know, subject your employees to a risk. But it's a great point because it's not written from the standpoint of protecting the public safety in this. So like for hazardous chemicals, like for example, and that might be something that I'll talk with the management team on. It's not explicit in there currently, nor was it in the first plan. But it does seem that it should be. Good point. Thank you. Oh.
Vice President Armitage.
As a follow-up to your question, there is a section under Goal H on plan and prepare for catastrophic emergencies that does address disaster planning and emergency preparedness and things like that. So I kind of see that as addressing that issue. And then on the other side, just the water quality issues, keeping our public safe with high quality water.
The physical safety.
Yeah. They do. I think those types of trainings are addressed in here too, from what I remember reading it earlier. I did see some of that.
Well, I'll go back through it and make sure that is covered in there. Right now we didn't use those specific words, but it may be inferred in some other areas and we can make it explicit. Easy enough. Okay.
Go ahead, Director.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for your presentation. I've been excited to see this draft. I knew it was coming, but didn't know when. So I'm glad to see this. Thank you for giving us a preview also before it kind of continues on in the process.
Yeah.
I think the goals are good. It's from kind of what I remembered as well from our discussion. So I appreciate that we stuck with that. So we have the goals and we have strategies. And then we have the lists of the key performance indicators at the end. And my brain, the way it likes to follow information, kind of wants to see it in a table format. So I think it would be easier to read if under each goal we had a table with two columns. On one column would be the strategies, and then the other column would be the indicators that would be used to measure progress towards those hitting those strategies.
Got it.
I think that would be helpful. And maybe we don't have an indicator for each and every one, and that's okay. But for the ones where it makes sense, I think that would be nice to see them side by side.
So you would suggest that, so it'd be like three columns. It would have the goal. It would have the strategy, the objective, and then the KPI.
Okay, yes.
Some of the KPIs don't hit each individual one, so they tend to be more general. But you could certainly, we'll give that some thought and see if that works. Yeah, you know, we're right now reaching out and working with that graphic artist. So we want to, you know, kind of give them latitude to kind of, you know, think about how to creatively lay it out. And what we also want it to be clear too. So we'll have that discussion with her if that can be accommodated and have a, you know, crisp look and feel. Is that, if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I think I felt like some of these also had maybe an indicator that could have gone along with it, but it wasn't necessarily listed. So I don't know. There's maybe a reason why.
Generally, we try to write the objective so that at the end of the quarter or the year that Matt and the management team can go, did we do it or not? So it's not, you know, much subject to debate. It's generally yes or no, or degrees of completion it might be. The KPIs are written to be more broadly performance indicators. So they almost, I look at them as kind of like red flags. You know, they may not be something to react negatively to immediately, but they indicate that something isn't exactly functioning the way it should be and that it might need to be corrected. It might need more resources, or maybe you want to, you know, change and not do something consciously, right? I mean, there are reasons why you might want to alter course. So that's the reason we don't do a KPI for each and every one. And what I found generally for utilities is that if you do too many KPIs, you turn your staff into just, you know, counting. Yeah, they're just counters that, you know, and it just becomes so overwhelming. So personally, I like to see for each goal, really 4, 5, 6. And you'll see when you see the graph, we do have more than that. So you have a very robust set of performance indicators in place. And I think the thing will be for staff, many of these, and to Rochelle's point earlier, is when you have these systems, they can automatically generate these statistics. It's, you know, it's a lot easier, but then somebody still has to look at that and think about it and run it to ground, right? So I'm not saying ignore problems, but try to come up with a really tight set of KPIs that help flag trouble spots, right? Fewer, the minimum is the best.
Okay, thanks.
So that's why there isn't one for each and every objective. Okay. The objectives, most for the most part, stand on their own. You did it or you didn't.
Okay. I like the idea of having the values work group. I think that's really great. I appreciate that. And we had this discussion at the retreat of it really should come from the staff. So I appreciate that we're putting that together. What else? Lastly, so under goal A, the customer service and stakeholder engagement goal, we have strategies related to the local, regional, and federal government and industry association, organizations, which we use a lot and have been greatly valuable. I felt like it kind of landed there because there wasn't a better place to put it.
This is the sort of the government affairs kind of angle. I mean, it's possible to call it out. I mean, we have essentially this strategy A3, which is at the bottom of page 9 in the plan. So that's the catch-all for the government affairs piece. You can call it out more explicitly.
Well, I was wondering, because I was trying to bring a suggestion to the table as well. I'm wondering, and just food for thought, and I'll throw it out and leave it alone, but maybe under a high performance team. I know technically they're not employees of the agency.
Yeah.
They're consultants.
So
I'm just throwing that out. It feels like it kind of fits there better, but it also makes that section longer and it's already long. So I'm just going to throw it out for food for thought. You guys can do whatever you want with that.
Yeah. So, but it's essentially addressing more directly the lobbying staff, in effect, that you have at your disposal to help you in Sacramento and DC, but being more explicit about that. Okay.
And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anybody else? Director Marks.
Ed, one of the activities that the Water Resources Department is undertaking is a resiliency initiative, which looks at the variability of climate, what our vulnerabilities are there, also incorporates analysis of impacts of our activities on environmental, in the local environment, as well as getting input from the larger community.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really, it covers several of the goals, but I didn't see it
explicit
as a strategy.
Okay.
In there, so I recommend going back and looking at that.
So, Director Marks, then, so dealing more directly and more explicitly with the kind of climate adaptation kind of angle, is that the?
Climate adaptation vulnerability to new regulatory regimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when we go back through it, we'll see if that isn't explicit enough or where it's implicit. I know that it is implicit. Have that discussion with staff, but it may not be explicit in here. It needs to be so. Okay, good. Thank you.
Vice President, I was asking, did you want to speak?
Mr. Means, can you walk us through the development of KPIs? Who helped you list them and write them and develop them?
There's a whole bunch of different sources. So AWWA has published documents. Effective Utility Management has a system for their categories of operational excellence in utilities. They've got a set of upwards of 20 to 30 KPIs for each of those categories, and they just list them as a compendium. There is in the literature, there's been published reports of different, you know, types of KPIs. I have a master list of probably 250 of them potential, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, you can get down to measuring any level of detail that you have the desire to kind of get to, but they're broadly accepted in the utility industry, mostly through the EUM model. And in some cases, utilities have kind of unique ones that they like to, you know, they like to focus in on. So occasionally they'll come up with new ones, you know, working with them. But by and large, it's their accepted utility measures.
In your initial draft, where you've listed KPIs under each goal, and then you went to an SME on the staff for them to kind of vet them,
yes,
and see whether they're capable or not. How many of them were removed? How many were then added?
I just off the top of my head. So what we did initially in the draft was took the ones that were in the first plan. So mm-hmm. We started from there. And after those were put together with four new agencies coming in under one umbrella. So there was we were collectively a bit winging those, you know, figuring out what are the really right functional ones. So with that 4 years of experience under our belt, we went back, looked at those. I would say, Director Orzechowski, I would say probably many of them were compiled because, for example, like on the customer service one, we used to have four or five or even six KPIs. Now there's one, and that's the customer survey, which embodies all these other six that we had. So there was some collapsing of that. I would say we kept probably two-thirds of the ones that were there, and there's a third new ones, and then some were taken off. I can certainly provide the list. It was a combination of, you know, what is practical to be collected, but most importantly, what's informative, you know, and it's been a learning process over 4 years, which right. KPIs work best.
Right. What can be collected and measured?
Yep.
Under goal B,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at KPIs 1 through 12. And not sure if this is applicable, but like residency times and in our water storage tanks, maybe I can get a comment from staff. Is that something that we can measure, or is that covered under number of dead end areas flushed?
I can certainly staff can address it, but I just wanted to emphasize that. So these are the KPIs that were from the first
right
cutout. So these have all been now as a result of our discussions, you know, just finishing up after the mail date of the board package, they've been revised. So you can determine water age. It's certainly calculable.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just from consideration.
Yeah.
All right. Back to you, yeah. President Martin.
Thank you, Vice President Osahosky. Any other comment or question? Director Armitage, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I said I was done, but I forgot I had a few more comments in the body. So I know the board was supposed to focus on the goals, and we were supposed to leave the strategies and objectives to the staff to do that. But I do have a few considerations I'm going to throw out. Mm-hmm. The first one under goal A, customer service and stakeholder engagement. I don't see a strategy related to what I think is a lot of work that staff is doing related to outreaching to customers to share information about the ratepayer assistance programs. There's two different ones that they're reaching out to customers to help them catch up on their bills. So I would offer perhaps something like continue to provide outreach on programs available to customers who could benefit from assistance with paying bills or something like that.
Okay.
Because it's been a topic of conversation in finance and administration committee, but there's never like a reference. There's no strategic plan nexus to attach to that. So this would give that a nexus to attach to that. Next, under goal C, strategy C3, I would just like to ask for if it would be a good idea to add stormwater capture projects or collaborating with the city on stormwater capture projects. I know stormwater capture was referenced elsewhere in the document, but I'm wondering if we could think about placing it there as well.
That's under C13, did you say?
C3,
sorry.
Mm-hmm. The next one is goal G, environmental stewardship. And just at the very end, under the section on advanced agency sustainability profile, I would love to see something like add to the purchasing policy language about phasing out the use of single-use plastics where feasible.
Okay, so this was under, you said it was under financial?
No, under environmental stewardship.
I'm sorry, okay.
G. And I think that was it.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Director Armitage, could you repeat that request?
Sure. I don't know if this is the right language, but what I wrote down was add to the purchasing policy language about phasing out use of single-use plastics where feasible.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. And as we go into February, if there are other, points that you see that need to either be emphasized or de-emphasized.
I just wanted to ask Ed the process for adding these actions. I do think that we should defer to staff about priorities because we all may have a lot of them. And I know we can't accomplish everything. So I'd like staff to take the final cut on what is a priority for their time, given all of our challenges. But I mean, yeah, we can give input, but I'd be more comfortable with staff picking what is most important to them. And some may not make financial sense. They may not make time sense. And we have to defer to their abilities to handle it.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions or input? Mr. Means, I just like to say that, the first 5-year strategic plan has served this new agency well. And I trust that this one updated to actually new and improved and incorporating a lot of the inputs you've heard tonight will serve us well for the next 5 years. So we appreciate your assistance in us moving forward with our next 5 years. So thank you for your presentation.
I'll see you soon. Happy holidays to you.
All right. We can now move on to item 9, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will first echo Vice President Gutzeit's comment, congratulating Rochelle and the staff who all supported the successful annual audit this year. And that support is not just the process of completing the audit, but the process of maintaining our systems in such a way that we can get a clean audit. So I realize that it extends pretty deeply into the organization when you look at it that way. A busy period, despite the impending or already occurring holidays, as it often is this time of year, lots of things going on in the extracurricular world, as well as the day-to-day. So just kind of looking back at some highlights over the last few weeks, I had a chance to attend the Safe Clean Water Program Scoring Committee. Still on that committee. I've gave my notice last year, but no one applied. So I've agreed to stay on as long as I can, but it's getting to be tougher because you have to drive to Alhambra every time. So it was Zoom world was nice from that traffic standpoint, but that's okay. It's very interesting work. We also had our biweekly PFAS team meeting this week and this past Friday, and I was very happy to be able to sit down on that and listen to the well-oiled machine of our engineering operations, communications, and finance folks as we kind of wrestle with all the moving parts of those projects. So it's great to hear, as well as our water resource team. So a lot of things to consider in each project as it goes forward. But that meeting is a thing to behold in terms of the efficiency or how quickly they get through everything. Enjoyed the holiday party that we were able to have. First one in person since 2019. And enjoyed seeing many of you there. And I waited to sing until most of you were gone. So it's a strategic decision. But I think we had an enjoyable experience and hopefully a good one for our staff. Our impact team, employee activity team, will be conducting a survey, kind of the, you know, what went well, what could go better, or where do we want to go in the future? So that was good. Had a chance to have a follow-up meeting with Mitch and Aaron on follow action items from the recent performance evaluation. So as usual, he encourages me to cull through the report that comes back from the board and look for some key focus areas, as well as for my own goals and objectives that I've submitted with my evaluation. So I'll probably highlight some of those in an upcoming GM report. Plenty on that list. I think just one in the last couple of weeks. If I missed someone, I apologies. Had my one-on-one meeting with Director Osowski. He asked me a couple of good questions, which I'm still tracking down answers to. I need to catch Mr. Alvord on one of them. But good interaction. I always enjoy the different perspectives and questions we get in those one-on-one meetings. Also, Steve and Mike and Keith and I met with counsel for the PFAS class action, which, as you know, the board voted to move forward in the settlement class for that. So we had a meeting focused on just preparing for the upcoming potential claim settlement submissions that we would be doing under the different categories, the phase one claim and the special needs claim, which is basically on prior response costs. So I think we had a good initial discussion with Brandon on that, and we'll be doing more follow-up. I think, as Steve alluded to, there's been work going on to look at a potential utilization of the Devil's Den property, and the board took an action tonight, hopefully set in motion. Necessary step for that. We'll be coming back to you at some future meeting to talk about a potential option there, and could be good, subject to further negotiation of terms and conditions. And I think with that, I'll end it for. Oh, I did also, Urban Water Institute, we had to have an emergency executive committee meeting, and then thank you, Bank of America, and it was an emergency board meeting. Because our treasurer fell ill, and one of the founding members, he's doing better now, but it was imperative that he not have this on his plate. And so we needed to take an action to, we had somebody in training, longtime board member who, and past chair, who was ready to step into that role, but we had to do some things with the bank to make sure that we could actually access our funds at Bank of America. So, appreciate their carefulness, but sometimes that's ridiculous. But we've I think got there. So and the conference in February is really shaping up well, and I really regret, but I made some arrangements to be in Kansas City that week. And so I encourage you to go. You won't have to worry about me being there. And I think with our membership, we get either one or two complimentary registrations. So I won't be using one. So, but it looks like it's going to be a good program. And there's a little bit of a different format this time. We listened to a lot of feedback in the last meeting and in the after survey. And one of the things we're going to do is build in a little more time between the sessions so people can actually talk, because what's great about that room full of people is you get them all stirred up with a panel and they want to talk about it. You know, they don't just want to sit there and listen and then 4 minutes go by and it's the next one. So we're going to have a little more breathing space for people to have conversations in between the panels and with the panelists. So the panelists will be coming down to a place in the audience area for, you know, that little line that forms and everybody tries to get their question in before the next panel starts. They're going to stretch that out a little bit and we'll see if that works any better. I wish I could be there to see it, but I love the idea. So we'll see how that goes. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Do we have any public comment on Mr. Stone's report?
We do not.
And before I open up to questions, I will comment on the Emergency Urban Water Institute board meeting. I did appreciate the flurry of colorful metaphors that were thrown about the banking service that I think we're going to be changing. So with that, Vice President Ozdowski.
Mr. Stone, in June of this year, you attended the General Manager Leadership Summit hosted by California Special District Association. I was wondering, in your conversations with other water agencies, general managers, any major concerns on their minds in 2024?
Get to that microphone, bud. Let me think about that conference. It was an interesting conference in that there were a mix of agency types and size at the CSDA leadership conference. So you have smaller water entities, community services districts, parks districts, as well as water districts. And I did run into a few colleagues that I would normally see. I would say the profound thing for me was I had an opportunity to sit in on a general manager mentoring session for aspiring general managers. And what I found was some of them had been aspired by necessity. So they had been placed in that role and were now trying to get advice and perspective. And so there was a good panel that was part of that from an experienced facilitator who presented a lot of good kind of first-time general manager advice. And then we broke out into sessions kind of like speed dating, where every 10 minutes they'd switch and a new group would come to your table. And it's like, ask me anything. And some of the ask me anythings were tough. I mean, they made me feel very grateful to be where I am and reminded me that it's, you know, I think the hardest kind of entity to manage is one that is very under-resourced. And particularly I noticed with parks and recreation districts, that is the theme. They have boards that want to do everything under the sun and resources that are limited. And so the challenge of a manager is communicating what the limits are of those resources and then helping the board to come up with the priorities that might fit with those limits. As an example, there were just, you know, kind of a couple of questions where I said, you really need to talk to a good HR attorney. don't let that rest. You need to run that to ground. I think it was interesting just networking with a different group of people who are in that leadership role, either have been for some time or are new to it, but aren't necessarily all from water agencies. It gave you a little different perspective on, I guess some of the differences that we see. I don't know if that really answers your question. I don't think the cocktail conversation at that point was focusing on 2024. It was more what's going on at my agency now, I just got promoted to acting general manager. I'm not sure I want to keep the job. You know, I was the finance person. I was very happy being the finance person. You know? And things like that. And then just a lot of mentoring, like encouraging people to stretch and assuring them that they were going to land on their feet. Yeah.
Okay. No, certainly does. I definitely encourage all staff to attend meetings that put them in contact with their counterparts at other agencies, whether it be water or non-water related. Yeah. You definitely get a lot of good info from that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Stone. Back to you, President Martin.
Any other comments or questions from Mr. Stone? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Stone, for your report. We can move to item 10, committee meeting recap report for informational purposes only. There were two reports included in the packet. Are there any public comments, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, that concludes item 10. We move to item 11, President's Report. I have a few updates tonight. Outside of the agency conferences and events, the Santa Clara Valley Chamber of Commerce 2024 awards and installation will be on February 2, 2024 at 6 p.m. at the Hyatt. The Urban Water Institute Spring Conference that Mr. Stone mentioned will be in Palm Springs from February 21 to 23, 2024. Please check your emails for additional events. Upcoming board meetings, regular meeting January 2, January 16th at 6 p.m. in this boardroom, and a special board meeting will be held on February 5th, 2024, 6 p.m. for ethics training for the board. Upcoming committee meetings held at Summit Circle, January 4th, 2024, Engineering and Operations Committee, the January 10th Water Resources and Watershed Committee, and the January 18th Public Outreach and Legislation Committee. Upcoming committee meetings at Rio Vista in the boardroom at 5:30 will be the January 19th Finance and Administration Committee meeting. That was moved, oh, by the way, that was moved to January 26th, 2024. Some additional information for the board. The agency will be closed on the following days in observance of the upcoming holidays, Monday, December 25th, Christmas Day, Monday, January 1st, New Year's Day, and Monday, January 15th, Martin Luther King Day. By the way, there will be an Upper Santa Clara Valley Joint Power Authority meeting that follows tonight's SCV Water regular board meeting. Members of the authority are the authority's president, Maria Gutzeit, vice president, Kathy Armitage, and directors Cooper and Martin and Ozahusky. There will also be a Devil's Den Water District Board meeting that follows the Upper Santa Clara Valley Joint Power Authority meeting. Members of the Devil's Den Water District are President Jeff Ford, Vice President Bill Cooper, Directors Ed Colley, Robert DiPrimio, and Director Ozahusky, Vice President Ozahusky. We will be adjourning the meeting tonight in memory of our General Counsel, Tom Bunn's mom, Eleanor A. Bunn, who passed away a few weeks ago. I will read the citation when we get to the adjournment. Public comment on the report tonight, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none, we'll go to 12. Item 12, AB 1234 reports. Are there any AB 1234 reports tonight? Director Armitage.
Thank you. I attended the Special Districts Association of North LA County Executive Committee meeting virtually on December 13th. And during which we planned the next, we're out to three meetings out now for the general membership and more discussion about the strategic plan. The next general membership meeting will be February 21st, and that's going to be here in Santa Clarita. And the special guest will be Supervisor Catherine Barger. So we hope you all can make it, and please look for the invitation from Judy Shea in your email. Thank you.
Vice President Ozahaski.
As mentioned before, on December 11th, I have my one-on-one with General Manager Matt Stone.
Any other AB 1234s? I have a couple to report tonight, Madam Secretary. I attended on December 8th, was a Zoom meeting. The Delta Conveyance Authority Board briefing was a Zoom meeting. On December 12th, I attended the Santa Clarita City Council organizational meeting to present outgoing Mayor Gibbs with a certificate of appreciation from our agency on behalf of the board. And on December 14th, I attended the Delta Conveyance Authority Board meeting in Sacramento. That concludes my report. We have any public comment on the reports?
We do not.
Very good. Let's move to item 13, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight? Director Armitage.
Just really quickly, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy holiday season and hope everyone's holiday celebrations are joyful and safe. That's it.
Very good. Any other director reports? Any public comment on the director report that we'd received?
There is not.
Very good. Item 14, closed session. We are about to go into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Any board members or staff that are connected to the Zoom and are in closed session, please disconnect. We will be meeting in closed session to discuss item 14.1. Members of the public and any staff may stay on the current line. Once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to the Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and remaining items on the agenda. We are now moving into closed session. We are now in open session. Return to open session, and we'll move to item 15, closed session announcements. Mr. Bunn. Mr. Bunn, are you online?
President Martin, he hasn't come back in yet.
Okay. Oh, he had this switch gears, I guess. Madam Secretary, let me know when he's back online.
I will do that. Thank you.
And you,
he's connecting to audio, so he should be on just a second.
Tom, okay,
we're ready for you to report out.
Very good. We're at item 15, closed session announcements. Mr. Tomba.
Thank you, President Martin. The board met in closed session under section 549.59 to discuss the claim that was listed in the agenda. The board unanimously voted to deny the claim and pass it on to Aqua Joint Powers Insurance Authority.
Thank you, Mr.
And by the way, I apologize for not attending in person today. I had planned to, but I'm getting over a cold and I decided I didn't want to cough over all y'all.
Well, that's perfectly fine. Thank you for not sharing. All right. Do we have to have public comment on the item 15?
We do not.
Very good. Item 16, director requests for future agenda items. Are there any requests for future agenda items? Left and right, seeing none. Move to item 17, adjournment. As previously announced, I'd like to read the citation that we are going to adjourn this meeting. In memory of Eleanor A. Bunn, the citation reads as follows. Santa Clara Valley Water Agency in memoriam adjournment. Eleanor A. Bunn, on December 19, 2023, the Santa Clara Valley Water Agency Board of Directors adjourned its regular board meeting in memory of your loved one. The agency extends its deepest sympathy, sincere condolences to you and your family, signed by all the board officers. And with that, we are adjourned.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very grateful, and my family is very grateful.
Very good. All right. Don't forget, we have a Upper Santa Clara Valley Joint Power Authority Board meetings beginning ASAP.